Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Alan Levy's show on Blog Talk Radio, the first live interactive podcasting tool on the web. And I'm very excited to be here tonight. And we have a terrific show planned. Lots of stuff cooking at Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening now on the live broadcast, as well as those that listen on the archive file. And we're getting lots of files downloaded for all of our hosts. And what can I say? Just a lot of stuff going on. A very, very exciting time at Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's show is going to be quite interesting. I have two guests tonight. I have the first guest I'll have approximately at 8:10 will be Rob Port, and he is a blogger. His blog is a Say Anything blog. And he will be joining me, and we're going to talk about his experience with Say Anything blog. He just became a host on Blog Talk Radio, and we're very excited to have Rob here, and he'll be joining me later. And we have another guest tonight on the second half of the show. It'll be an hour show tonight. And the second half will have the Pod Poet on our show. And the Pod Poet is very interesting guy, and I don't know his real name. That's a pseudonym. I don't know. I think he likes to be known, called the Pod Poet. We'll speak to him tonight. But he was on last night, and he did a show regarding the Katrina victims, and it was a show called Helicane. And I'd like to talk to you a little about that. So if you would like tonight, you can call me 347-677-0649. Once again, my phone number for the Blog Talk Radio show is 347-677-0649. I'd love to take your questions. Perhaps you may have some questions for Rob. You may have some questions for the Pod Poet later on during the show, but I'll give that number out throughout the show just so everyone is informed. Now, first I'd like to talk about what went on last night on Blog Talk Radio, and it's quite interesting. Shortly after we launched the service, which was about a month ago now, we're a month old, or a month young. It's getting older every day. There was one of the first hosts that came on, had a show called Helicane, and he was a poet, and he found our show through probably TechCrunch. It was before we had archiving, and I was really fascinated by this show because it was a show dedicated to the Katrina victims. He did his show. I never heard from him again. I tried to email him. He never came back. We didn't have archiving, and the service was really very, very young, but that's fine. And I didn't hear from him. About two days ago, I saw that he came back, and he launched a show for last night. And I was so excited that he came back onto Blog Talk Radio to do a show, because I really believe in the platform, particularly for things like this, where you have an opportunity to get out and speak and talk about an issue that's very important to you. So I was very excited that he went on the show, and his show was scheduled for last night. We, in fact, put his show on our homepage, which we like to feature certain shows on our homepage, and we were quite excited. Well, I turned the show on at 8 o'clock, and much to my dismay or despair, there was dead air, silence. I wondered what's going on? So I look up on my logo and I see the word beta there, and I understand we are beta, and we have to understand, and everybody who's listening and participating in Blog Talk Radio must understand that we are in beta and things will happen, but why last night? Why did it have to happen? So I call Bob, who's, right by my side. He's actually not physically by my side, but he's on the end of my phone line, or IM note, most often. He says, I just got off the phone with him, with the Pod Poet. So why? Well, apparently the Pod Poet lost his internet connection. He lost his internet connection as the show is about to begin? Well, the answer to that question was yes. But see, the amazing thing about Blog Talk Radio is that the Pod Poet was able to do his show. He was well prepared. He had poems with him. He had poems from his guests. These poems are posted on his website, which he'll tell us later. But because he was able to call in to Blog Talk Radio to host a show by using a regular phone, we're talking about technology that was developed, like 80 years ago, he was able to do a show. He didn't need his broadband connection. He didn't need his computer. He didn't need anything. He needed a phone. And he did his show. He wasn't sure if people were listening. He wasn't getting IMs. He couldn't take calls, but he did his show. And as I listened to his show, which was terrific, and we were able to edit out the first 4 or 5 minutes that, you know, which was dead air because he was trying to, when he had to call into the show, I started really just, I sat back and I think, how neat is this thing? We've created a platform which is innovative and different, clearly. No one's doing this by taking live calls, archiving them, creating podcasts after those interactive calls, which is clearly the best form of communication. But how neat is this, taking old technology and combining it with new technology, taking telephones and combining it with the Internet, taking traditional radio or a platform for radio and combining it with blogging to come up with Blog Talk Radio. So we were very excited by that, and I'm really happy that he was able to do a show. In fact, I heard from the Pod Poet this morning, who's happy about it all, and he is in transit. He'll be calling me from cell phone. I think he's in an airport in California, about 20 to 9. So we'll hear from him tonight and hear maybe some more poems and talk a little more about what's going on in New Orleans. Before Rob comes on, my first guest for the evening, I want to just tell everybody about a few things that are happening here and some things that are really some changes we're making, improvements to the site, which we're constantly doing. The first thing you'll all be happy about for the host out there is that you'll see an on-air button now appearing on the host switchboard. I know it's confusing when you start a show and you don't really know you're on air, but right now when you host a show, you'll see the switchboard, which shows you what phone number you're calling from and shows you the numbers calling in. Well, now you'll see the word on air lit when you're on air. You'll also see a clock which shows you how much time you have until you're on air and how much time you'll have until you get off air. So we're providing some of these tools. We're working on that. We're also working on inserting some audio feeds and some other things, some bumper music in the beginning and the end. And, of course, ultimately we're going to run some commercials here. So, you know, we'll be doing that as well. The other thing we're going to have up tomorrow is the forum. The forum will be up, and we're very excited by it. I took a look at it, and I hope you use it. I hope you enjoy using the forum, and that will be up tomorrow as well or the next day. But that's something that we're looking to get your feedback. We constantly want your feedback. So those are a couple of things that are going on, and hopefully I'll cover that a little later in the show. But first I'd like to bring on my first guest, and it's Rob Port, and he's with, as I said, the Say Anything blog. And let me put him on now. Hello, Rob. You're on air.
Hello. How are you?
How are you, Rob?
I'm doing good.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, thanks for joining me on my show, Blog Talk Radio. And I know you've done a couple of shows this week. Is that right on Blog Talk Radio?
Yeah, that's right. I think we've done three total. We had a little bit of a snafu with the first one, where we ended up just taking it off. We didn't do a real good job on the timing, but that was just kind of our training one. You know, we weren't being real serious on it yet. It was more just kind of a dry run to figure out how everything worked. But since then, I think we got it down, and I think they're turning out pretty good.
That's excellent. And let me just give everybody a little background. Rob, you run the blog. That's your blog, right? You founded that blog, the Say Anything blog. What, please give everyone the name of the blog.
It's Say Anything.
Say Anything.
SayAnythingBlog.com URL because SayAnything.com was actually taken by some sort of a speech therapist or something like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, the actual blog is just called Say Anything. And to be honest with you, I came up with the title back 3 years ago. I was sitting staring at a blogger page. It was asking me for what I was going to name this thing, and
right.
I just, anything, you know.
That's a great. I love the name. Well, first of all, it is Say Anything because you do say anything, and a lot of the people that offer your comments are very good. I see that it's a very active blog. So, how long have you been doing your blog, and what is your blog focused on? What, maybe you could tell everybody what your blog is focused on.
Sure. Well, first off, I've been doing it since September 10th, 2003. So September 10th, 2006 will be 3 years for me. And basically, it focuses on politics. And actually, the date I started it kind of plays into my focus. Mm-hmm. It's focused on politics because September 10th, obviously the day before September 11th, on the second anniversary, it wasn't until September 11th that I actually started taking politics seriously.
Really?
When September 11th happened, I was 21 years old. Up until then, I had considered myself a liberal, but I don't think I was connected enough to politics to know what a liberal is. After
right.
September 11th, I started looking around. I started actually paying attention to what these politicians were saying, and I ended up finding out that it was the conservatives actually who more matched my actual political outlook, the one that I had already established for myself.
Now, where were you on September 11th? Where were you? Were you in school? Were you in class? Or
working, actually. I work with my father. We were both in the office. It's a family business. And I was working that morning, doing something at my desk, something routine, and my mom called me and said that there had been a plane accident, that somebody had crashed into the World Trade Center, and then as she was talking to me, she said somebody had crashed into the Pentagon, too.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we went in the back room, our break room, and turned on the TV, and the rest of the day, I think my dad and I just sat there with our jaws, mouths hanging open, in total shock.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, as far as my politics, it was a defining moment for me.
Well, it's a fascinating time, and if I may just digress, because as you talk about that, and we are obviously coming to September 11th anniversary, and we're doing a tribute on September 11th where people are reading material for as many hours as we have. I mean, blogs or written material that's on the web, we're going to have people read and just express our thoughts that way, if I may. But I live about 10 miles north of the World Trade Center. And
sure.
We can actually see them. I live in New Jersey, and we could see the World Trade Center from some areas, high vantage points where I live. And many of the – and I was home that day. It was a beautiful day, blue skies. And many people who work – many of my neighbors work in Manhattan, and we're in the banking industry and work downtown, in fact. And when that happened – I watched the second. I was walking around. I watched the second building. I came in. I watched it live, like many people did. When you heard the first one go, the second one came, and then you see it. The fathers and mothers who worked in Manhattan, Lower Manhattan, walked home. They couldn't get out of Manhattan, and they walked home. They walked over the George Washington Bridge. They walked up the West Side Highway. They witnessed. I have a number of friends that witnessed people jumping from the buildings. It was just so unbelievable, and people, families just mulled around in the streets here. We were in shock. And, you're in North Dakota, and you feel that. And what's so amazing about this country at that time, and I'm not taking any political views, I'm just expressing my own view, is that everybody felt it. You felt it in North Dakota, you obviously so much that it transformed you and kind of gave you the impetus to really create this blog and to take a point of view and try to effectuate change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people talk about September 11th changing everything. It really did for me. I voted for Al Gore in 2000. I'll be perfectly upfront with that. A lot of people knowing my politics now are surprised by that. But I did, and
right.
It did change everything. I don't think I'm always right on the war on terror, but I do think that one side has it right, and that's what I advocate for.
Uh-huh. And your focus of your blog, now what's you focus primarily on, like, North Dakota-ish type issues, local issues, or South Dakota, or national issues? How do you kind of measure it? Because you obviously decide what goes on your blog.
Yeah, well, it's an eclectic mix, I guess. When I started doing it, it was pretty much just any news story that struck my fancy. I would read something and I would post it and just put commentary, either agreeing with it or disagreeing with it or expanding on it, and stuff like that. And so the blog is really, for the most part, has always been just about whatever I'm interested in at the moment, and primarily, you know, national politics. Of late, it's been a lot more. More people are posting to it. I kind of have it open. I have a number of readers who contribute, fantastic writers who contribute,
yeah.
Blog posts as well, and they do an excellent job. And it's really expanded and it's helped. So everything is still kind of from my point of view. I'm still editing. Sometimes people submit things I don't necessarily want on there.
Yeah.
As far as North Dakota stuff, that's actually Brett Narlock from TakingBackND.com. He's actually been doing the podcast with me. We're actually going to be joining forces here pretty soon, and there's going to be kind of a side blog to Say Anything, and it's going to focus more on North Dakota stuff as well.
I see, because I think that's helpful. I know you've had some politicians from North Dakota on Blog Talk Radio where you've interviewed them. And how'd that go? Did you get some good feedback from them and from other people that read your blog?
Yeah, I think when I actually asked, it was Doug Gehring.
Yeah.
He's the politician for the Ag Commissioner here in North Dakota, which is a pretty influential position here in the state. And his campaign manager knew what I was talking about when I said podcast. But I think when I first talked to Doug himself, I thought it was going, what now? What is this?
I hear that every day, by the way. So don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, more so for North Dakota, because North Dakota out here, they're still wondering, you know, entirely what blogs are.
Right.
So to a certain extent, some of the journalists in the papers now have them, but for the most part, for a couple years there, when you talked about North Dakota blogs, there were some MySpace pages out there from kids around the area.
Sure.
As far as serious, more serious blogs that kind of covered current events or had a set topic or whatever, I was pretty much it. And I'm still pretty much it. I think that the Democrats in the state have two official blogs. One of the districts has a blog, and one of the official state party has a blog. And then Brett Narlock has a blog. And then outside of that, there's a few other that barely get any traffic. But it's been pretty thin in North Dakota for a while. I'm hoping that changes, because I don't want to be the only one. I think more views. The more views, the more voices, the better.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And I think, I mean, you're close to, what, about 1,000 links to your blog? And is that right, on Technorati, I thought?
Yeah, I think. I haven't checked in a while. I think it's something like
it's
that.
It's getting up there.
Yeah.
So what is your sense of what's going on now in terms of what's going to happen in this upcoming election? I mean, we've got October, you know, it's coming up soon, and there are people, some of the people that are have been, you know, in the Republican Party, been going to shine away from Bush. And, I mean, what do you think this is going to fall out?
I don't know. That's a fantastic question. I don't know where the chips are going to lay. I think a lot of people look to me for whatever, because I comment on politics so much. They look at me as some sort of a prognosticator sometimes. But I honestly have only been following politics for a little less than you know, 3 years.
Right.
So I mean I'm common. I know the politicians I want to win. I know the ones I don't want to win. But as far as who will and who won't, I'm not sure I feel comfortable saying.
No, of course you won't. I mean, I'm just saying, because I know people are talking about it. I mean, it's my sense that it's frustrating looking at our leaders. They have such low approval ratings, all of them. There's just so little trust in them, and so little gets done. And it seems to me somewhat of a flawed process. There's so much that needs to get done, and so little does get done. And it's amazing, the same people seem to stay in, and they don't get a lot done. So I certainly, you know, don't want to put you on the spot, but
it's very much an anti-incumbent atmosphere out there right now, more of a kick the bums out than any real support for one side or the other. It's a point I've made for a while. I think a lot of the reason there's a lot of anti-Republican sentiment out there is because the Republicans just happen to be in power.
For sure.
Because, I mean, if you look at the approval ratings, the Democrats aren't doing that much better.
No.
A lot of the liberal blogs have been going around saying that this is some sort of a victory for liberalism. I'm not sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think the numbers support that. I should point out that I end up supporting Republicans a lot, but I don't consider myself a Republican so much as a conservative.
I see.
I'm very fiscally conservative. I don't have any religious views, so I'm not much of a social conservative. But, I mean, to me, it's small government, cut taxes, cut spending, strong on war on terror. And I think probably I'm really upset with Republicans lately on spending.
Yes, about to ask you. I mean, look at the amount of spending that's going on by Republicans. And they've controlled the whole show, right? And I'm not saying Democrats have been, you know, better, but...
And absolutely. Well, but part of the problem we run into is that when it comes to the massive, there's been a big movement on earmarks and pork barrel spending, but the type of spending that actually outstrips earmark spending is entitlement spending. The big three entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, we're spending $3 billion a day on those three alone, and that's growing at an 8% annual clip. The problem is that anytime Republicans talk about maybe, say, cutting the rate of growth in spending on Medicare, not even an actual spending cut, but just slowing down spending growth, and immediately they're accused of not liking poor people and wanting them to stay sick, and it's a tough game. It's not easy to be a conservative because it's not easy to be the person that has to emphasize personal responsibility. But, I mean, right now, like you said, the Republicans are terrible on spending. I think the only reason I'm still supporting the Republicans right now is the idea of Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi being in charge of the war on terror makes me want to hide under my bed and cry.
Yeah, okay. I don't think, quite frankly, if the Democrats were in the power, they would be in charge of those things. So.
Well, if they get back the House and they get back the Senate, They could have a lot of sway.
But there's no question that Bush has was put in a very difficult situation given what happened on September 11th, and that changed his that defined, of course, his presidency, right? So he had to change course on whatever plans he had. His plans changed, and whatever president was in would be dealing with this, and it's transforming our nation into a different type of attitude towards openness and freedom, really. I mean, you know, we have live in such an open country. So I think that he's taken some positions vis-a-vis Iraq and so on, and some may argue or not. Clearly, it's been a difficult situation, but the spending has been out of control, of course. So, and I could see why a lot of conservatives are upset by that. And certainly, it's quite vocal on the blogosphere. So, I mean, who do you read? Let me tell you. Now, you're part of Pajamas Media,
yep.
Which is a big kind of aggregator of political blogs, mostly right, mostly Republican.
I think it is mostly conservative, but that's not necessarily because leftists or people who lean to the left were excluded. I think that more speaks to the fact that the three people who founded it. Which are Roger Simon, Glenn Reynolds from Instapundit.com, and Charles Johnson from Little Green Footballs, are all on the right.
And so I
think it's more just stems from the fact that a lot of the people who lean to the left didn't necessarily feel comfortable working with those guys over for ideological reasons, I think. But
I see.
Certainly David Corn, who is a very prominent left-leaning journalist and opinionator, is part of Pajamas Media.
I see.
Along with some others. So it's not entirely, you know, on the right. I mean,
well,
people weren't being excluded, let me say it that way.
We just brought in Pamela from Atlas Shrugged, as I mentioned to you. She's going to be hosting her own show on Thursday nights beginning September 7th. So everyone should check out another Pajamas Media Blog Talk Radio host.
Yeah, she's great. She's been doing a lot of reports from actual Israel actually during the Lebanon conflict, and I know she had a fantastic interview with UN Ambassador John Bolton the other day. So she's top notch.
Yeah, she is, and she's not too opinionated. That's her problem.
What's that?
She's not too opinionated.
She's not too opinionated.
It's a New Jersey humor.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, well, maybe that flew over the head of this North Dakotan, but she's got plenty of opinions.
Yeah, she does. Now, let me ask you, where do you see Blog Talk? I mean, do you see yourself continuing to do shows on Blog Talk Radio, and what's your plan with this platform?
Well, I think we're still sort of feeling that out. One thing we want, Brett and I really want to do, or, you know, I'm not sure, but Brett, I think, is pretty much going to be with me on it in the future. But one thing I think we still got to figure out is what sort of schedule is sustainable for us. You know, neither of us do this blogging thing full-time. We both have day jobs. Brett's a busy guy. I'm a busy guy. So we want to find a schedule and a series of days so that, you know, a group of listeners will know, okay, this is when they're on. This is when we know we can catch them and be able to provide them with a show at that, you know, same time mm-hmm. every week or whatever it is.
Well, it is also a podcasting tool. So, you know, yeah. We're actually launching a service where people can, hosts can record a show whenever they want to. It doesn't appear
sure.
in the program guide, but it'll appear on your host channel, and it'll be downloadable. So that's another.
Sure.
And a lot of people just don't want to do a show, and they don't want to open a platform and have people call in to the show. So.
No, we're loving the ability to have people call
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
We have, on Say Anything, we have a great core group of commenters that are just really smart. I mean, we have guys from all over the country. We have professors, scientists, economists. We have some reporters that read. And so it's just great to have that mix. Usually if you're posting about something in somebody's area of expertise, you know, someone who's just really smart on the area will come up and just really, you know, blow everybody away with good information. So being able to have those people call in and discuss this stuff has just been fantastic. And we're really looking forward also to hopefully being able to get some of our local leaders here in North Dakota on the air and interview them. Because here in North Dakota, you know, it's our legislature only meets every other year. You know, it's
really
pretty low key around here mm-hmm. as far as politics. And I think one thing a lot of North Dakotans miss is that they don't always necessarily get to hear their political leaders talk. So, you know, I think it's a real good thing if we could give a little bit more exposure. I don't think we're ever going to match the local radio station. Maybe I don't.
Well,
know,
you know
day,
what?
But
frankly, I don't know about that. You know, this platform is heard. Of course, people who live in Florida are not necessarily interested in North Dakota politics. But you know, as this platform becomes more relevant, and again, we're only talking about a month here, I think it's hugely useful for politicians who want to reach out to their audience.
Sure.
You can do town hall meetings, by the way, on Blog Talk Radio. People can call you with questions. It's unlimited streaming. You have the ability. It's archived. It's free. I see it as a perfect medium for that. So, you know, and I listened to the politicians you had, and I encourage you to use it for that purpose. I think. Look, maybe it's not going to be as big as the local radio, but it still can be effective. And it's archived, unlike a radio. You have the ability to use the file at a later date.
Sure. I think part of it may be just that I'm feeling a little self-conscious about it. I was talking to one of my good friends who listens and is a reader and also contributes some to Say Anything, and I was asking him if how bad we sucked so far, and he said we were doing pretty good. So, you know, we're working it out. I mean, well, neither Brett or I are broadcasters by any stretch of the imagination. So, I mean, basically it's just the two of us having a conversation, and hopefully it's entertaining and we'll get a little better at it.
I think you will. And it's, first of all, I think the people we're attracting to Blog Talk Radio are like you and like me. I have no history of doing this. I just felt that as I read blogs, I said, how neat would it be for bloggers to have the ability to communicate directly with their audience, to interact. Because blogs are historical in nature, by definition. And it's not an effective means of communicating. It's good, and it's very effective. The written word is documented. It's there. It's there forever. But how neat would it be for people that spend their lives blogging, who have a passion, and they're individuals, how neat would it be for them to have a platform to express their views and get feedback from their audience?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's been great so far, and like I said, we've sure enjoyed it. You know, I think a lot of my readers were actually really surprised that we did it. But it's been a blast so far. I kept saying that to Brett after we did the first one. We got to keep doing this.
Well, I'm glad you did it, and I'm happy that you're on Blog Talk Radio. I know that I kind of dug you out of the web, and I IM'd you, and probably annoyed you a little, and bugged you as I read in your blog, and you were very honest and said.
No, hold on. I don't think I said you annoyed me.
You just bugged me a little, but that's perfect. let me just say, I probably sent 100 out that day, and you were the one that answered. So
yeah.
Guess what? You're the one who won the prize. You know, you're on Blog Talk Radio, and now you're here, and you're participating and enjoying it, and, you know, watch out. We have a lot of stuff coming on. I mean, one of the things we're doing, and we have a guest coming on now and from Helicane. I don't know if you listened to that.
Which is it?
It's the Katrina. He's a poet who wrote about, has a website called helicane.blogspot.com. And he's aggregated the most poignant poems from Katrina, a victim, families, and people who live there, and which have been written not just a year ago, but over the last year. And he did his show last night on Blog Talk Radio and recited poetry. And he's going to be joining me this evening after we finish. And he's going to talk a little more about what he's doing and his mission and purpose, and that's a perfect platform for Blog Talk Radio. And
sure.
And we're doing a similar thing on September 11th, in fact, where maybe we'll even reach out to you if you'd like to read a few pieces. But we're having, well, contribute some pieces. We're having collecting through Blue Doodle and the Creative 2996 blog, pieces and material from related to 9/11, and we're going to have readings throughout the day in the afternoon by different types of different participants to come in and read just pieces from 9/11. So that's going to be on our site, on our homepage, and you should check that out and so on. So anyway, I want to thank Rob for joining us this evening, and it was terrific for him to be here, and I truly appreciated it. And Rob, hope you had a good time, and I look forward to seeing you on Blog Talk Radio. Let me just see. I think he must have fallen off. Rob?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, something must have happened on the line there. So.
Sorry about that. My call dropped for whatever reason, but I didn't mean to drop on you in the middle of the show.
No problem. So anyway, I think we're pretty much done, and I want to thank you
okay.
for joining me.
Great.
It was a lot of fun, and I look forward, and I would like everyone to check out the sayanythingblog.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, sayanythingblog.com. That's
right. And I look forward to maybe speaking to you again and corresponding and seeing you on Blog Talk Radio.
Sure, absolutely, anytime.
Okay. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Joining me.
Yep.
Okay. Folks, that was Rob Port from Say Anything Blog, and had a... You know, he's done a terrific job on his on the Say Anything blog. So before we get the next call or my next guest coming in from Pod Poet, I'd just like to talk about a couple of other things I think that are important and that you'll see coming on Blog Talk Radio. I mentioned earlier about the forum, and the forum, which of course most of you are aware of and you've seen many sites with them, will be tremendously useful. Blog Talk Radio site is quite interesting in that it there's a lot of stuff here, and when you're a host on a show, you know, we do provide certain tools, but we certainly could provide better tools, kind of a how-to or helpful hints. You know, what do you do if a show drops? What do you, you know, how do you deal with the switchboard and so on? And there's a lot of different things that we know we want to include in a helpful tools, and we put some in the FAQ, but this is clearly something that is evolving and changing. So what we've done is created a forum, and that forum will be up tomorrow, I was told. So I think everyone should look for that, which would be pretty good. Also, we have right now RSS feeds for the podcasts, and those appear on the host blog, which is also going to be, the name is going to be called Show Notes. On each host channel, you'll see in the bottom a schedule of shows, you'll see archive shows, and then you'll also see what's called a host blog. Now, the host blog is really the host's ability to communicate with their audience with regards to this show and their shows. It's not intended to be used as the primary blog. Everyone knows how much time you all spend blogging. It's just a huge amount of time. So this is an opportunity to reach out to your audience, but audience to reach out to you separate from a forum. So right now we have the RSS feeds on the host blog, but by tomorrow we'll have the RSS feeds on your host channel. Now, of course, your host channel, one of the key things that we think to be most effective at Blog Talk Radio is to put a promotional button on your blog out in on your blog, put a button up on top, and your readers could come to you and listen to and reach out to your host channel directly from your blog. So I want to go over those things now with you. I'd like to cover some more things later on, but I think we have the Pod Poet calling in from an airport in California, and we're going to talk a little more about Helicane. So let's see if he's on.
Yes, Alan, are you there?
Yes, hi. We're on Blog Talk Radio. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine.
Terrific. Well, thank you for joining me tonight.
Sure thing.
And I appreciate it. I was telling my audience tonight about what happened last night. You lost your internet connection at a very inopportune time.
Yes, moments before I was due to go on the air. I worked a little bit late, got home, and rushed to put the whole show together, only to find out, you know, only about once every month or so do I have this kind of an internet glitch, and it just so happened to be last night. So I struggle, and fortunately, at about 5 minutes after my showtime was supposed to start, I got a call from somebody at your switchboard who was able to walk me through just doing it over the phone.
Yes, and then you were able to conduct your show just using the phone.
Right. I mean, it was it wasn't all that I wanted. I wanted it to be much more interactive. I wanted to be able to hear my guests and
sure.
have their voices on as part of the program as well. But because my show was poetry based, I had all of their poems in front of me,
right.
So I was at least able to let their poems do the talking through my voice, and heard comments back from many that they were very pleased with, you know, they some of them actually enjoyed hearing their poems read by somebody else.
Yes.
As opposed to them reading it themselves. But
I would think that would be interesting. I mean, I listened to the show, of course, and I, of course, listened to the first 5 minutes of the show, which I clearly knew there was a problem. And I was happy that Bob reached you, and I was really pleased that you were able to simply use a phone to call in. I mean, that's the whole beauty of Blog Talk Radio, that you don't need a computer, really, to use a service. You can just call in. So fortunately, you're able to call in, and your show came across terrific. And I listened to the entire show, and I listened to the poems, and I woke up this morning, and I emailed you, and I said, would you like to join me tonight and maybe talk a little more about Katrina and Helicane and how you got involved in that? And I thank you for joining me.
Oh, sure thing, my pleasure. Well, you know, Helicane was started almost a year ago yesterday, just a couple days into the Hurricane Katrina catastrophe.
But before you continue, let me just mention one thing, and I'd like to give my call-in number because I know the call-in number's working. In case anybody was listening last night and would like to speak to the Pod Poet tonight with a question, that number's 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
You.
You know, you can go to the Helicane website, which is at helicane.blogspot.com, and you can read all about how it started. But in a nutshell, it evolved from deep anger and resentment on my part about some things that happened in our country right when Katrina hit. That resulted in a poem that I wrote just to try to deal with my own anger. And after writing that poem, I realized that there must be, you know, hundreds of other poets around the country and even the world who are eager to express their views on the matter.
Where did you live at the time? I know you're in San Diego based.
Yes.
You in San Diego when the
I was, and that actually gave me a very unique perspective on things because my office looks right over San Diego Bay out to North Island Naval Air Station at Coronado. And on that very day, this was probably the second day after Katrina hit when New Orleans was being inundated, you know, being flooded, mm-hmm. and people were drowning and people were screaming from rooftops. And that very day, across the bay, President Bush was in town visiting with the troops and having a photo op in front of an aircraft carrier surrounded by hundreds of white-clad Navy sailors, U.S. sailors, talking about, you know, the war in Iraq and how good it's going and everything. And so
the
I went home.
The day after.
Pardon me.
The day after.
This was like the first or second day of the hurricane.
He was there, right? Okay.
He was still here. Yeah, he was on some cross-country trip. And
yes.
I went home, turned on the news on our local station. The news was covering him. Flipped the channel and simultaneously the national news. I think NBC is on at the same time as our local news on another channel. So on the national news, it was these scenes of devastation and complete despair from New Orleans. And then flipped back to the local news, and it was President Bush in front of the sailors talking about the war in Iraq. So I don't know if anybody else would share my incredible frustration and anger and kind of just that sense of surrealness from experiencing that. But I certainly did, and that was the pivotal moment that ultimately led to the creation of Helicane, to try to give voice to other poets around the country and the world who, you know, have similarly strong feelings, not all in agreement with my feelings, but we have all political viewpoints, all, you know, points of view expressed in the various Helicane poems.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you go to the site after, you know, within a month or so, or did you help in any of the efforts or participate, or did you have an interest in doing that?
I sure did, although I felt somewhat helpless in terms of actually getting down there. I work in public relations, and I volunteered to assist the Red Cross, but as you can imagine, things were fairly chaotic, and so nothing ever came to fruition in terms of me actually going down there. And that was actually part of my motivation or my source of energy for Helicane, as I realized logistically it might be kind of difficult for me to go to Louisiana, but maybe I can do something at my keyboard to try to give some sense of expression and help and hope for you know, people that are dealing with this catastrophe.
Now, did you read your I'm sure you read your piece, but did you read your poem last night?
Or did you focus on others? Yeah, I chose not to read my own just because it's been up there the longest. It was the poem that started the whole thing, and I have it up on my own poetry podcast site. So I feel it's gotten plenty of exposure. Maybe in a future episode I'll read my own, but I wanted to have the spotlight be on the many other Helicane poets last night.
I see. Okay. And did you and you brought some poems with you tonight? That did you want to read a few more that you
certainly get on? If anybody wants to hear the show last night, there was a large collection of very good poems featured in that show. I have a couple here that I wished I'd had time to read last night, and I ran out. So if you would indulge me, I could read the first one that I picked.
Please.
Here. Yes. Fairly short.
Time. We have time. I know you have a plane to catch at 9, but
And actually, that got delayed a little, so I'm doing
and
okay.
And I've taken the liberty to extend the time past 9. I know some people over here, so I took.
Oh, great, time. Great. I bet you do. Okay, well, this is I number all of the Helicane poems in the order that they're received. This was Helicane poem number 100, and it was posted October 8, 2005, by Rebecca L. Moyers. And it's called simply Katrina. You took away my memories. You took away my past. You took away the old oak trees. You drowned them in your path. I used to play at Pontchartrain, building castles in the sand, and watched the dancers in the street, holding onto Daddy's hand. But you took away my childhood and covered it in mud. You took away my happy days and tainted them with blood. You took away my memories, you washed them from my sight. You took away my happy dreams and turned them into fright. Give it all back to me, build it like before. Make it like it used to be, so I can dream some more.
And who wrote that poem?
That was the poem Katrina by Rebecca L. Moyers. Most of my poets will indicate where they're from, but she has chosen not to. So, it's a favorite poem of mine because I was, as
That's
a child...
That's a terrific poem.
I actually lived in Baton Rouge for 3 years. Maybe that's why Hurricane Katrina may have hit me more than at least some other people that I know, because I feel a close connection with the state. And I remember going to Lake Pontchartrain. I remember holding my own father's hand just, you know, in awe at the magic that was New Orleans and Louisiana. So this poem really spoke to me in that very direct
way. There was a poem that you read last night that I was very surprised, and I'll get to one poem in particular. I was surprised at the diversity, somewhat angry. There was different emotions, of course, that came through this, and one of them in particular was the dead people in the bathroom.
Yes, yes.
And that was, I don't know if you have that one with you, but you probably not.
Well, I can find it very, very quickly.
I don't know, and maybe you can, and I think that's a powerful poem, and I think that the audience to listen to that poem, it's interesting.
It's very, very emotional. Yeah, I have it right here.
And if you read that, if you wouldn't mind, I know you want to cover some other ones you didn't read,
but that
one in particular I thought was very good.
So I should probably give the brief introduction for
yes.
it. It was written by an adult, but in the voice of a child, and it was after the poet had heard a reporter interview a 7-year-old girl whose family were victims of the hurricane. And the poet says she hopes that this innocent child will not be scarred for life by the shameful events that took place during the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And the poet is Susan Marie Jevons, a very gifted poet, and this was posted on September 15th, 2005. It's called Dead People in the Bathroom. Mama's in prison. Why ain't she here? There's dead people in the bathroom and a rat over there. The water kept rising and there's no food anywhere. There's dead people in the bathroom and I'm scared to go there. Why are we still here? Is it 'cause we black and we poor? There's dead people in the bathroom. I can't take much more. The big folks is shouting and they're shooting here too. There's dead people in the bathroom. Mama, I'm angry at you. Who's going to save me? I've been here for so long. There's dead people in the bathroom, and the stink is so strong. There's dead people in the bathroom. Did you hear what I said? Them rats in the gutter are eating the dead. Will they eat me next? There's nowhere to run. There's dead people in the bathroom. Will I soon be one? There's dead people in the bathroom, and it's so hot today. I wish that this nightmare would just go away.
It's an amazing poem, and I know the people, whoever's listening and live or an archive, will listen to that poem and kind of wonder, is it possible that...
What I think is amazing about that poem, there was a special on NBC News with Brian Williams just two nights ago, and they showed never-before-shown footage of the situation in the Superdome, and there were dead people in the bathrooms, and I think this is a poem that matches the impact and the power of the best TV footage, the best newspaper photography, but this poet has done it with words, and I think that's one of the measures of great poetry.
Hmm. Is there any other... And I have a question. I know you want to cover some poems, but maybe we can just throw something out there.
Sure, sure.
You know, we're one year later here, and, you know, what's your sense? I know you're obviously very aware of what's going on down there, and there's been rebuilding, but, you know, a big storm comes, and it's going to happen someday. You know, what lessons have we learned, do you think? Or have we not learned the lessons yet?
I think that Katrina is a huge wound on the country, and much like 9/11, and I think that our country, our culture will reel from this wound for many years to come. And I don't think we're very close to having that wound heal or to even scar over yet at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. And the question one asks is, you know, maybe there hasn't been enough attention on this in this area of the world. You know, and I think you had another poem about color and about why are they not focusing on us, you know, and I remember that one in particular. But, you know, hopefully we'll have a weak season, and it won't be like last year. So
that would be the hope. That would be the
hope. And then give a little more time and to get things organized better. But, you know,
sure.
Well,
certainly lots of lessons were learned.
Yes.
But I think we learned a lot about ourselves as a country through this as well, and we continue to do so.
Yes. Why don't you read another poem?
This is one I've been really eager to read. It's one of my favorites. It's by a poet named Barclay Kenyon, and it's called The Deluge of New Orleans. It was posted on October 27, 2005. He starts with a piece of graffiti that he witnessed somewhere around New Orleans, and the graffiti simply said, "Shoot into the sky, burn the city to the ground." And here's his poem, The Deluge of New Orleans. When the rains came and the walls collapsed under the lash of some furious tongue of hurricane song, we were left clinging to rooftops strung up on the bridges, watching alligators accommodate those cats and corpses, watching the burning sun steal out our breath, the glass streets of the quarter of Chartres and Bienville soaked with muddy bottom and crayfish, the harbor doomed. The deep trombones resound beneath the water to send along the coffins yet again by light of a mockingbird moon. Look a-here, we thought, you could come and save us from our tumultuous home. Our home, we said, for all of time. Don't let us be buried here in your imaginations. Act now. You won't regret it. We'll give you our song. The mystery deepens like Gomorrah, and our town begins to haunt the American sleep. Oh, man, we have always lived in your dreams, but now this bitch, this Katrina, this killer come on down with her howler monkey song and broad dampening skirts has brought us so low that we may never make it to the table again. We're waiting now with prickly eyes to the window just to see them X-cross an old floater. Our young are shocked with confusion at the silence and the lies. Cars grow on sycamore trees. Houses flow by like fallen leaves. You'll remember us, dreaming you will, even if you cannot save us now.
Unbelievable poem.
It really is. It's a very chilling poem. I really can't add anything, you know, in describing it even more than what it did for itself. Sometimes there's a poem and there's a line in a poem that just leaps out at me, and this one line in this poem was just five simple words, cars grow on sycamore trees. I mean, and that is that is what happened to New Orleans. You had these bizarre scenes that nobody ever could have imagined would happen to a major American city. And, of course, this poem goes much deeper than that, even talking about, you know, how the country could have saved New Orleans, but has chosen not to in many ways.
And how did they find, I mean, was this individual wrote that poem, obviously, that week?
It has. People don't often, when they submit a poem, I don't get a lot of history. Occasionally somebody will choose to write a brief intro. But sometimes when you read the poem, you can tell that the person either experienced it directly or was deeply, deeply, you know, affected very close to the event he writes about.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. We have a few more moments. If you like,
okay.
You can read another poem or two, and I know that my audience, and I'm certainly enjoying it, and I know the audience is loving it. And if
sure.
Anyone does want to call in with a question or a comment who couldn't call in last night to the Pod Poet, it's 347-677-0649. And if people don't call, I can understand, because I think people are kind of really listening to this.
Sure.
Who maybe
and I should add that...
you can't add words to this, by the way.
That's right. I'll add quickly that there will be future, Helicane Blog Talk Radio shows.
Okay.
I have several different categories of Helicane poems, and I'm planning on doing some shows to feature those different categories. One of the categories is political poems. This is a very brief poem called Welcome to John Edwards' Two Americas, and it's by Tony Pizer. He's out of Studio City, California, and he's a fairly well-known journalist in the Los Angeles area, so I was very pleased to get a poem. I've actually gotten a few poems from him contributed to the site. This was posted on September 9th, 2005, really the first full week of the Hurricane Katrina disaster. This is Welcome to John Edwards' Two Americas. William Rehnquist passed away peacefully, surrounded by his children at home, as neglected seniors died in wheelchairs in the hell of New Orleans Superdome. As this time of horrific upheaval sweeps all across our wounded nation. I mourn poor blacks, not this white guy who opposed Brown versus Board of Education.
Very good.
And I'm not, you know, that's the other great thing about poetry is it seals things in time that the media will often just forget about, you know, the very next day. But what many of us have probably already forgotten is that our Chief Justice William Rehnquist passed away that first week of Katrina.
Yeah.
And some people saw quite a bit of irony in sort of the immense respect that was paid to him versus how, you know, we were responding to the Katrina victims.
You know, as I hear you read these poems and I'm thinking how effective it is to hear these things and you bring you back to that time, and that's why I've been very excited. We're hosting a tribute on our homepage, you'll see it, and our audience for 9/11, where we're gathering some of the...
Yes, I did see that.
Yes,
very exciting.
And you inspired me to do this.
Is that right?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Because
that's,
I think
that's
it's
great.
A terrific thing, and what we're doing is we're having basically a telethon in a sense, and we're going to be collecting in association with the BlueDoodle.com and the creator of the 2996 Project, which is
yes.
solely dedicated to 9/11. We're going to be gathering all the writings and poetry of that of related to 9/11, and we're going to be having people read excerpts from this.
That's wonderful. I'll definitely be looking forward to that.
I'd love you to maybe participate if you could, if you wouldn't mind.
And sure, I will read more about that. And
put in touch with Amy Domestico's handling the coordinating the writers and with Dale from 2996, and love
sure.
to have you participate in it and join that and maybe even read some pieces and maybe contribute some if you have some that you've seen related to that. Because it was a dramatic, of course.
Oh, certainly. Yes, well, I appreciate that. I will definitely look into that and let you know.
Okay, so I will email, we'll circulate that information around.
Very good.
Is there any other poems you'd like?
I'd like to close with two. These are somewhat more hopeful, still laced with incredible despair, but there's a lot of hope in them as well. And so I don't want to leave people thinking that all the Hellicane poems are about, you know, fear and despair and tragedy.
Right. It is a new era. It is a new beginning in many respects, right?
So that's true. That's true. We must move forward.
Yeah.
And I think we can do so with the help of poems like this, one called Wondering by Nathaniel A. Booker, Sr. And he said this is dedicated to those facing the ultimate test of the human spirit. He wrote this, submitted this on September 15, 2005. I wonder where the love has gone, and is there any left? I wonder where the laughter went. It haunts my every breath. I wonder where the children are. Their toys are strewn about. I wonder where the confidence is, for my heart is filled with doubt. I can't begin to express to you the deepening pain inside my heart, for we've grown so selfish, we're so undeserving of the love that God imparts. I wonder where we'll be one day when the gold comes to an end. When the water recedes, but mankind still bleeds, will the saints go marching in? I wonder about the elderly left alone to die, and why those supposed to care for them deny all blame and now cry out, why? I wonder all these things, and I wonder about myself. I wonder what I can do to help, or am I no different than anyone else? I wonder where the flowers are. There's too much water for them to bloom. The birds aren't singing. The silence is ringing, and it's the sound of impending doom. I wonder what we'll do now that our mortality we're forced to face. Will we grow and change and stop acting deranged, or will we spiral into chaotic disgrace? I wonder if you're wondering too. Will we be blessed with more joyous scenes, or will every picture bring back to memory the tragedy of New Orleans? I wonder.
It would be ringing applause, but I don't have the sound effects.
That's quite all right.
Terrific.
Before we run out of time,
we have one final poem,
and it's this is a poem from Roland Ruiz from San Antonio, Texas. I think lyrically it's one of the more beautiful poems on the site, and it is called Beneath the Painted Cloudy Sky. Beneath the painted cloudy sky, burnt by sun rays shining high, lies a wicked killer storm, comes by day or night, no matter. Evil in its sinister waves, gives no quarter either way. This wicked, wicked killer storm has brought the gulf to bay. Insidious in its crooked ways, cares not if souls are lost today. It brought a city to its knees. In death and carnage, it knows the way. To this we owe to precious few who dared to stare its evil eye and brought the wrath to bay. Now the time to pray has come. To fill the shining painted sky with love and hope, we ask, dear God, to heal our loss and take our pain away.
Beautiful.
And I think that's a really nice one to end it with, because it's just a hope, it's a prayer that some of this pain will be taken away and that improvement will come and better lives will come for all
the people. I think what you're doing is noble, and you're committed, you're dedicating a lot of your time to seeing that people don't forget about this tragedy, and that can only improve things for the better and for people. So you are truly a terrific person, and I'm glad you found Blog Talk Radio, and I'm glad we were able to bring you on and last night and tonight, and we look forward to hearing from you some more on Blog Talk Radio and hopefully, and I know maybe participate in the 9/11 trip that we're going to do on 9/11. So I want to thank you once again for joining me, and I know my audience, I've gotten some feedback from them already. They've really enjoyed this, so thank you.
Well, I really thank you for your invite. It's been a great pleasure, and I look forward to staying in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you, too.
Well, I think everybody would agree that the Pod Poet, and I didn't ask his name, and he didn't offer it, so I didn't think it was particularly necessary to have it. Just like I didn't think it was necessary last night as I listened to the collection of poems. It's very touching and very, very effective. So with that, I'd like to end my show tonight on Blog Talk Radio. The reason why I'm doing this is validated by people like Hella Kane and people like Rob, who have a point of view. And those of you who I've heard and listened to who have a point of view that want to express it, there are so many of us that want to listen. Have a good night.